Thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Good morning. It's a joy and a privilege to be with you today. Before I get started, I want to set the record straight. I come to you this morning not as a pastor or a preacher, nor am I a teacher. But if there would be one title that I would carry, it would be that as a witness. Being profoundly deaf since the age of 18 months, my eyes have been everything to be able to behold the majestic beauty of his splendor and to be able to communicate with my fellow man. 32 years ago, I was a student. I came to the seminary with a lie. I lived in the seminary for the first 7 months with a lie. It was here on this campus that at the age of 35, I came to know my Lord as my personal Savior. And in my shame and in humiliation, that night, I went flat on my face to cry out for the forgiveness and the mercy, saying, "Father, I cannot live this way. For 35 years, you have had me walk the path of silence. I hate it. I despise it. It's my worst enemy. I cannot go on. I will not go on. But I lay down my life that if this is what you have for me, you must live this life for me, with me, and in me." 32 years ago, he gave me a promise from the book of Hosea that the night when I fully surrendered and the Bible fell at my feet, I was in the book of Hosea, the 14th chapter, when he said to me, and I used my name, "O Thomas, return to the Lord your God, for you have been crushed by your sin. Take words and come back to me, for my anger will be forever gone. I will love you freely, Thomas. You will blossom like a lily. Your feet will go deeply into the soils of Lebanon, far away, and your people will rest beneath my shadow." The night that I came to the foot of the cross was the longest, darkest, quietest night of my life. And knowing the next day, I had to stand before the entire academic committee of the school to confess my sin, I began to pack my bags to run away. And that's when my Bible fell at my feet. And God gave me the promise. And I went on my face. That morning, I stood before the entire academic committee with tears streaming down my face. I remember that day. I knew they had a hard time understanding me because of my speech being garbled. But the one thing that I remember that I will never forget all the days of my life was one man in that room that sat in the chair with his head bowed and on his hands, and he shook his head back and forth as I spoke, and he wept. That man was President Robertson McQuiggan. Friend, have you ever wept for someone's sins? What I remember that day is seeing this man and with the realization he didn't know me. I was a student here, but there were so many students. I never had the time personally to talk with him. I didn't know him. And for that much, he didn't know me, but he wept for my sins that day. While I was here, I remember coming to chapel in the weeks that followed. And I would be deliberately late. And the doors would be closed. And I would stand outside those doors with tears streaming down my face, saying to the Lord, I am so unworthy to be a part of the body. I had one desire when I left the school, that God would send me to all the nations, to every generation, to proclaim his love and his faithfulness and testimony. Since that day, he has honored that promise. I have spoken in every denomination of the church except for one. Now, you're probably wondering, what's that one denomination? I have yet to stand before the Mormon church to proclaim my faith. And I know that God will see it to that day, for what he has started, he will finish. Basically, God used my time with the FBI to make a TV show, Sue Thomas FBI. And this is how he would send me to those nations. Here in the country, over 3 million people watched it. But far more, he took it to 64 nations around the world. 64 nations think there's a Sue Thomas that's a big celebrity with the FBI. They email me, they text me. I stand and I correct them, big yes. Celebrity, no. God's greatest sinner saved by his grace and his grace alone. Last year, I went to India for 3 weeks for a speaking tour. And as I went down the street, there were posters all over the place with my picture on. And it was in their language that I couldn't understand, except for FBI. FBI, this is the way God got their attention. And for thousands in amphitheaters outside, I shared the full testimony of my shame, the humiliation, the transformation, what God has done in my life. It would be over 20 years when I left this campus that I found out that Dr. Mill Quirkin was speaking in Missouri, New Jersey. I had not seen him, and I knew I had to go. He was at a conference, and when I got there that evening, they sent me right at his table. He was right next to me, and I hadn't seen him in 20-some years. And the first thing out of his mouth, when he looked at me, he says, "Oh, Sue, I am so proud of you." I was losing it. I was choking up. The tears were coming forth. And I said, "Please, I need to be excused." And I walked away from that table, tears streaming down my eyes, talking to the Lord, saying, "God, he doesn't remember. He can't possibly remember." So after regaining my composure, I came back in and I sat with him. And I said, "You know, Dr. McQuiggan, I came specifically to have a few moments with you. When can I see you?" And he said, "Well, how about tomorrow morning after the first session? Let's get together." I said, "Sure." So I'm on my way to meet Dr. McQuiggan when lo and behold, walking towards me comes Dr. Jones. And he looked at me and he said, "You're Sue Thomas." I said, "I am." And he said, "Well, I've heard a lot about you." He said, "I would like to have some time with you." And I said, "Well, how about right now? I'm on my way to see Dr. McQuiggan. I would like you to be in this meeting with me." So he said, "Okay." So he comes along with me, and my associate and traveling companion is there. The four of us are sitting at this round table. Dr. McQuiggan is right across. looking at me. And I said, "Sir, I only have one question for you. During your time and your tenure as the IU, did you ever kick anybody out?" And he looked at me and he said, "Well, I don't think so, but I really can't say for sure." And then there's this pause, and he looks at me straight in the eye, and he said, "Did we kick you out?" I said, "No, sir, you didn't. You could have, and maybe in all accounts you should have. But because you didn't, you pointed the direction for me to go. You see, I came to know the man that died for me. And from that meeting, I came to know the man that wept for me. For every time I would come to see IU to speak, immediately when I would leave, I would go to Dr. McQuarkin's home. And I would walk through the door, and the first thing he would always ask me was, 'How did chapel go?' I had to give him an account. Then I had to give him an account of the journey. The communication in those years were precious. He became my father, my spiritual father. The only man that ever wept for me. And he pointed the way. The lessons that have been learned along the journey, the lessons have been learned by the eyes beholding. God has gave me eyes. And what I have seen, well, there's been a vast change within our faith. The two ways of the Lord are found in Psalm 77. The ways of the Lord are found in the sanctuary. The ways found in the sea, thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. The ways of the Lord are found in the sanctuary and the sea. The sanctuary. This is what I'm witnessing as I travel among all the churches today. The church is no longer the sanctuary. The church has been one of the greatest social institutions of all times. The networking, the fellowshipping, the hustle and the bustle of the activities. And we are taught in our churches today the how to do's, how to prosper, how to be happy, how to raise your children, how to survive your marriage. Long, long are the days that basically we are teaching, we are meditating upon the word. As far as the crucified Christ, you say it was with the crucified Christ that I came to that cross. And in that cross, there was a transformation that took place where it was one, my greatest enemy, the thing that I despised and that I hated the most, would become my best friend. For it's only in the silence that we truly hear the still small voice of God. God is found in the sanctuary. He is not found in our churches today. He is found in the sanctuary. And where is the sanctuary? It's in the silence. The silence that draws us to him. The silence where we hear his voice. The silence where he directs our paths. The silence for teaching. Oh, how I long for the day when my people shall return from exile far away and will rest beneath his shadow. I want the whole world to have what I have, the perfect peace that surpasses all understanding, that nothing, absolutely nothing, can shake me, knowing that he is in control every single second of my life, that whatever he brings to me, the good, the bad, and the ugly, is ordained by God for my good. Yeah. God created good, and he created evil. And what's the good and the bad and the ugly? What's the use for it? To draw us to him, to bring us back to him. When there's nowhere else to go, we have to go to the sanctuary. Well, we don't go to the fellowship and we don't have the hustle and bustle and the entertainment and the movies. We go to the sanctuary with the Almighty God. Precious, precious is the wearing. And he is found in the sea. The sea, the uncharted path, where there is no trace, where no ship has gone before us. Every single day, we're at the sea, for we know not what tomorrow holds. We know not the path that we take. God gave me a burden to create a place where the silence is never broken. It's found in water brooks on 113 acres of land. It's there where people, when they come, turn in their cell phone, their computer, they only have their Bible, and they come totally to walk with God. I'm building a place that basically I have no idea how it's going to be built, only by the hand of God. People will say to me, well, how big is it going to be? I don't know. Well, how many people are going to come? I don't know. Well, how are you going to pay for it? I don't know. All I know is I follow. He leads, I follow. And it's rising. And it's being built. And you know, I have to come down to the earthly sense sometime, because right now we're at the stage where we have to build in this huge septic system, okay, for the people. Well, you and I both know that there's no church on earth that's going to take their mission money to build a septic system. I mean, that's not what it's all about. And I realize that the septic system is going to be about $70,000 and up, and I thank God it's going to be $70,000 and up, because if it was only $1,500, I would try and squirm and wiggle my way to trying that $1,500, because it's $70,000 up. There's no way I can do it, so I just say, God, you build it. We build it. And I watch and see how he does it. But friends, before you undertake anything, before you go anywhere, before you go out to the sea, you can't possibly survive unless you've been in the sanctuary. The sanctuary, the silence, it will teach you if you listen. barn 32 years ago when I was driving on campus. God gave me a song. You get that? A song to a deaf woman that doesn't hear the music. Many years ago when I was here, the Maranatha song just came out, I Love You, Lord. I lift my voice to worship you, all my soul rejoice. So I'm coming down St. Andrew Broad River Road and I'm singing, tears coming down my face. And I couldn't stop singing. The words just came forth. So in B flat, A minor, the only way I can sing it, this is what you'll hear it. But I assure you, as it goes up for the one that I sing to, it is perfect in his sight. I praise you, Lord, and I give my soul to you. Be the glory, let my life so shout. Take all of me and let it be for your glory and honor through eternity. God has afflicted me with multiple sclerosis for the last 16 years. But I stand before you now, and I'll look at you and I will proclaim that if you do not walk the walk with Jesus, if you have not died at the foot of that cross, please don't take the name of Christianity. Live it. Live it, and then you can claim it. But if not, don't take it in vain. It's time to be serious and go back from whence we came. And I pray that if this is my spiritual home for where it has so started, that it will flourish and that it will grow and that it will send many people in his name. For once you know him, you're accountable to make him known. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you his perfect peace. I love you.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.